You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. So now we're going to talk about strategies that you can use to start revival and to continue in sustainable revival. You know, when it comes to fire, there's three things that you need. You need heat, you need oxygen, and you need fuel. And if you deprive any of those things from a fire, it goes out. You know, and the Word of God gives us understanding on how the kingdom of God works. And if we will just look and meditate on the Word, we will see all the instructions are there. And if we follow them, we'll get revival. Whatever we want to do in the kingdom of God, if we go to the Word of God, it will give us the answer. So Jesus says, take the beam out of your eye before you can get the speck out of someone else's. That's about judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. When you've judged yourself, then you can judge other people. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians. In the Gospels, Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged, for with the same judgment you'll be judged. Right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, as I said, we judge all things because we're spiritual. So the Bible also says that the same measure that you meet will be measured unto you. Sowing, right, you sow, you will reap. If you sow spiritual stuff, you'll reap spiritual stuff. You'll prosper in all of these things. So there are laws. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And there's the 30, 60, and 100 fold. They actually dovetail into each other. So I can talk about that later. But really what we need to do is find the ingredients. You know, about 7 years ago, I'm a window cleaner. And the Lord says to me while I'm doing my windows, he says, there are some people who know how to read the time. There are some people who know how to wind the clock up when it's run down. But not many people know how to fix it when some of the dials are broken. And the Lord said, I've called you to teach people how to repair things. I said, okay, I just let the Lord teach me. And he started giving me strategies. You know, when he told me, I started looking to him for strategies. Started praying in tongues a lot, as I was. And the strategies started coming to me. And I meditated on them. And I applied them. And, you know, the Lord, he's been very nice to me. You know, I've stepped out of church. And I started ministering to people who were fringe dwellers, Christians who had a calling in their life. They had a fire in their belly, but they couldn't do anything with it. And when I started praying for them, they got on fire. And then they started gathering together, and I had to work in those situations, and I had to learn myself how it works. God didn't just give me the stuff, and then I didn't have any practical application. No. I had people all over Australia that well, they look to Donna and I for guidance, and we keep sending them back to the Holy Spirit. Every time they slipped, we'd pray for them, and they'd straighten up, and they'd go back to the Holy Spirit. And some of them slipped one, twice, three times. But once they learned, they started plugging into the Holy Spirit, and they started getting the juice flowing. And they became self-replicating. They became self-repairing because they knew where the repairing was coming from. It wasn't coming from Donna and I, from continual messages. It was all about plugging them into the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. And if you can successfully plug people into the Holy Spirit, then you can get them on track. So we need some ingredients to start a fire, a Holy Ghost revival fire. What we really need is we need the Holy Spirit. That's one of the components. Another component we need is a willing heart. And if we don't have a willing heart, then everything stops in its tracks. A hardened heart is not going to work in the kingdom of God. We need to have a willing heart. We need to have a soft heart. So a soft heart that will receive the information from God and is willing to to go forward in it. They're two separate things. A soft heart and a willing heart. You know, you can get instructions from God and not do it because of fear or because of a whole lot of variables. So we need to get rid of those variables. We need to soften a person's heart. So to have revival, we need a soft heart, we need a willing heart, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. And then comes revival. We need to stay in those particular ingredients, and revival will continue to just keep flowing and flowing. The problem with revival, short-term revival, is when people receive something from God and they do it, but they don't have the substance inside themselves to maintain the momentum, and they slow down. Revival slows down and they go, oh, that was a move of God. That was a short-term bit of God. That was a sovereign move of God. He decided to just do it and he just decided to stop. That's terrible theology. God is a positive energy for good and wants to go forward. He doesn't want to stop. The ingredients that he needs is a willing heart, a soft heart, and he provides the Holy Spirit. And as I said with fire, if you don't have those ingredients continually, if you don't continually feed a fire with fuel and air, and you know, you throw a bucket of water over it and create coldness, it won't continue on. So the strategies I want to give you, they're positive and they work over and over again. And they have been working for thousands of years since Acts. But people want to do things differently all the time. You know, in the book of Acts, they had some problems with some people who were waiting on tables that weren't getting looked after. So they said, we're not going to stop go and do that stuff. Go and find seven men who are full of God or full of the Holy Spirit and of good report. They had a good testimony that the fruit of the Spirit was actually manifesting their life. They had a testimony. So they were actually full of God and they had a testimony. So they picked them. Why? Because they wanted, the apostles, they wanted to maintain their function or their momentum in prayer and reading, prayer and studying the scriptures. You know, the enemy will always, once you start something moving, he'll try to slow you down. And he'll do it through a thousand different ways. He's not short of ways to slow you down. He'll get distractions in the church. And he'll use those who have hard hearts and those who are not willing and those who are not being led by the Holy Spirit to actually be a part of his work to slow the church down. So it's the enemy operating through individuals. And the individuals don't really understand that they're being instruments for a darkness because it's all being done behind the scenes. And they don't actually, not all the time, know that they're the spanner in the works, that they're causing everything to slow down. So how do you fix all that up? You know, because if you're going forward five steps and then walking back four and then another five steps, you know, it gets a bit monotonous. And you know, you're stopping and starting. And the idea is to start momentum and to continue the momentum and then move up through the gears. Okay, so you're driving a car, you go in first. And then when the momentum picks up, you go into second and then third. And then if you're going up a hill, you stay in third. And then when you're going down a hill, you put it in fourth or fifth. You know, because, you know how to drive a car. So you can liken that, I suppose, to revival. But I'm just giving you types and shadows, understanding, parables, whatever you want to call them. So that you can superimpose them into spiritual understanding. So this is how it works. You first get on fire yourself as a pastor and oversight, because you can't lead a group of people who are in the ditch if you're in the ditch or you're partly in the ditch. So you need to get yourself right with God first. You need to have a willing heart. You need to have a soft heart, and you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the only way that occurs if you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. You can worship. Now, worship brings the juice. And, speaking in tongues brings a revelation. So you can have juice but no revelation. You can have revelation and no juice. You need all of these things to go forward. You need, once you start moving forward, and the easiest way to make yourself move forward is to abandon all of your ideas. Why don't you sit down and say, I've been a pastor for 10 years, and you'd think that I'd be in full flight, full revival by now. You're obviously not doing something that's working. Obviously, something you're doing is dudding out for you. So you need to be not proud, you need to be humble and say, I haven't got it right. So you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, please fix this up for me. And I'll show you how to actually start lighting the fire, how to get all of the kindling. You know, when you start a fire, you know, you don't put logs on them, you put little tiny sticks so that they can actually burn. And you put a lot of air through it so that there's oxygen there. And you keep it dry so that it will burn. So, as a pastor, I would suggest that you spend a bit of time just sitting down and praying in tongues. When you start praying in tongues, you will start lighting a fire inside you. And the Holy Spirit will go to work and start softening your heart. And then he will actually, he'll give you understanding. And then he will actually give you the ability to say yes, so that your will line up with God. He's an antivirus program. He'll destroy all of the misconceptions and all of the other the wasted times that you've tried to have a revival. It doesn't work. It didn't work. So, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and not getting the result. You know, so why don't you just get off the track you're on and try the biblical track? Forget about what you've been taught in seminary and, some church council and groups of people. They're not having revival. What are you all sitting around talking about stuff, but nothing's happening? Sometimes you're all talking about praying and fasting. That's great. Sometimes you're talking about, I like to read the word. That's great. They're all positive things. But on a sustainable level, on a continual level, not stop and start, not lucky dip stuff, not just seeking God for just a little bit. No, you need to have your cup overflowing. If you're operating as oversight or pastor, you need to operate and walk in an overflowing existence. And the revival will start with you. And the reason it starts with you is when you start getting your people on fire, when the enemy comes, if you don't have the authority and the power, you'll get taken out by the enemy. You won't be able to rescue your people from the wiles of the devil because you won't have the authority or the power. You say, yeah, but I'm a pastor. I've got authority. Okay, well, if that's true, then why are a lot of your people sick and continually sick and they're not on fire? You know, you need to be in a position where, you know, we had the seven sons of Sceva, you know, where some Jewish vagabonds, exorcists, went over and they tried to kick some demons out of this guy. And he said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? You know, you need to build a reputation in the kingdom of darkness that you're a force to be reckoned with. And you can't just go in and just turn over the tables. You need to be moved in by the Holy Spirit, or else the tables will be turned on you. Many pastors I've seen have prayed or tried to start up a healing thing and all of a sudden got sick themselves, or their church got sick. and they abandoned that because they weren't able to fight the enemy. The Bible says, as we behold his face or his image, we are transformed from glory to glory. So as we pray, receive the Holy Spirit revelation that God wants to give us through Jesus Christ by the agency of the Holy Spirit, we understand who Jesus is and then the power and the operation of the kingdom of God. And as we understand that, perceive that, then we are moved from glory to glory to a position of operation to a higher position of operation. So what you do is, how about Romans, where it says, he who waits on his ministry, or he who ministers, let him wait on his ministry. Let him who teaches, let him wait on his teaching. Let God equip you and empower you, not a piece of paper that you stick on a wall and says that you have the ability to teach because you did 3 years of Bible study. No, let God build you up and equip you and then send you out. Now, a lot of people will say, I don't want to pray too much because God might send me to Africa or to India. I've seen pastors go to Africa and India because they start praying, they get a clue, God wants them to do this, he wants them to be a teacher or maybe a pastor, and they go to the wife and they sell everything up and they go to India, they go to Africa. Why India and Africa? What, are they the only places that God ever sends anybody? They come back with their tail between their legs after a couple of years, and they don't understand. You know, God didn't send them there. He gave them the revelation of who they were supposed to be, and they were supposed to sit down, pray in tongues, worship God, and get equipped. And then God would send them out on an assignment. And when he sends them out on an assignment, like he sent Moses, like he sent everybody else, he equips them with power, with ability. You know, sometimes we get caught up in this big fat lie that, you know, on the day of Pentecost, he says, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will be witnesses and you will have power and ability. And the Bible says in the Gospel of John, as many as believed, he gave power to become the sons of God, the ability. You know, people think that they've got everything from the day one. As soon as you get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, well, effectively, you can't kick demons out because the Holy Spirit will move upon you sovereignly and all stuff will happen. But in a general sense, you need to grow up into the things of God. You need to get off the milk and onto the meat. And you need to understand how things work. And the faster you learn, the better it is. But you still, you know, you just don't walk on water. Nope, look, we can all do marvelous works from day one. But these are sovereign moves of God over you. Because God needs to change you. He needs to equip you. He needs to transform you. Because our flesh will dominate us. And we'll get prideful and say, look at me, aren't I wonderful? And, you know, we just worship self. And the only way to do that is to get over yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of your will. That's will worship. You're thinking that you are capable of withstanding the wiles of the devil on your own strength is will worship. Some people have strong will, some people don't have strong will. And you get caught up in your own power to fight back the enemy. It's not going to work. You'll get caught out. You might have some strength. You might have some strong will. You might be truly determined. But the enemy, he uses spiritual power. And we don't fight against, you know, we don't use natural abilities to fight the kingdom of darkness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through pulling down a stronghold. They're through the power of the Holy Spirit, as you know. So it's very simple. First, you need to get the beam out of your eye. And you might think, well, I can see clearly. I know everything. I've read the Bible 6 times. I've been a pastor for 30 years. Well, you should. You should be tearing it up. Something's stopping you. Either the organization you're in is stopping you, or you're stopping you. It's not God. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to position yourself in a place where the river will run free. He wants to get the log jams. He wants to get all of the stuff that slows the flow of the river. He wants to get them out the river so that you can flow with unhindered, clearly. I think I'm making my point, hopefully. So what you need to do is to spend time praying, seeking God, not 5 minutes a day, but maybe an hour or two a day. And I can guarantee you that the juice will start to flow. And then once the juice starts flowing, then you need to calm down, because you'll try and drag your poor little people who are not sanctified, who are not separated, who are not built up in the Holy Spirit. You'll try to bring them into revival, and they will cause trouble. So you may not cause trouble. You might have gotten over part of yourself, but they will cause trouble. So then you need to apply the strategy on them as well. So basically, what I would do is I, as a pastor of maybe 100 people, 50 people, 20 people, do the same thing. I would seek God first myself, not try and get all of the church seeking God so much as you seeking God. And as you move further in, you can maybe get, maybe start prayer groups, but you need to be careful about that. You need to get yourself into a position where you can fight back when the enemy comes and tries to mess up your people, because he will. I guarantee it. I'll give you 100% guarantee. He will not leave you alone. He will give you what we call pushback or blowback, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, some people, when we minister to people, maybe a woman, we minister to her and her husband gets sick. Or minister to the husband and the woman gets sick, right? And it's intimidation. Well, we fight against that because we minister to the woman or the husband. We just pray over the situation and we stop all the situation from birthing. When I speak to somebody and I feel that the anointing's over me and I'm talking to somebody and they're starting to get it, when I pray over them, I pray that the word doesn't get taken away. It's a seed that's been planted in their heart, and I pray that the enemy doesn't come, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, the sower and the seed, the enemy what? He comes immediately. So I pray that that word stays in their heart and that it gets a chance to take root and then start to form something, an idea. These are people who are not even filled with the Holy Spirit. They can still have the Word of God blossom in their heart, and then they will make the decision, oh, I think I need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to come to the Lord. Because that Word has started forming in their heart, and the enemy has been stopped. So it's about knowing how the enemy works and strategies to stop him. And the first thing is that you need to get yourself right. You know, Jesus spoke about, you know, a house. When it gets, when the enemy gets kicked out of the house, he goes into dry ground, dry area, and he comes back and he finds the house swept and clean with nothing in it. So he goes and gets another 7 devils. That's 8 of them. And the guy comes worse. Or the person becomes worse. Now, the idea is you get the stuff out of your life, you get the enemy's influence out of your life, and you fill it with the presence, the knowledge, and the understanding of God. God will fill it when you start praying. He will transform your life. He will, by default, when you take water out of a glass, what fills into the glass? Oxygen, air. So when you lay your hands on any individual, what floods out of them? Darkness. And what floods into them? Light. The presence of the kingdom of God. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit, but the presence of the kingdom of God, the influence of the kingdom of God, floods into their life. Okay, so when a person gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and you pray over them, and influences leave, or demons, because they influence man, when those influences go or partially go, then that partial area gets filled with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if they maintain that area, God will use that area to warfare against the rest of the area inside that person's life. It becomes a continual, perpetual thing. But we need to have the momentum to go forward. If we stop, the enemy starts to take ground. So, what would you do? You'd start praying for a couple of months, getting full of God, and you'd have the rest of your oversight watching over you. And if there's any problems that happen in your life because you're starting to stir the pot, because you're starting to move forward into the light, then they who you can trust will pray over you because they're praying as well. So you get a bunch of you and maybe a bunch of oversight, and you get you guys praying. And as one of you starts going a bit wobbly, starting to go a bit crazy, depending on who you are, the others can pray over you because they're doing the same thing. And you're all looking after each other as you're moving forward. You're all carrying each other's burdens of righteousness and holiness and transformation. That's a great strategy. So you're going forward. Now, what if you got no oversight and you just got 20 guys, 20 people, whatever it is, and there's not much of a church there? It's just only a small gathering. Well, you pray and you say to your people, I want you to pray for me and to hold me up in prayer. I want you to lift me up in prayer. I want you to count me in your prayers, that God would, that I'd be protected and covered by the grace of God. There's a good strategy. But don't get your people working too fast, too hard, because if they're not transformed, what you need to do is you need to get yourself into a place where you can swing a bat. And when the enemy starts playing havoc in your church, you can belt him over the head. You have authority, you have ability, you have power, you have dunamis dynamite power to do something. And God, because you're faithful, God will not allow the enemy to come and tear up your church. He will allow the enemy to work in your church because he wants the enemy defeated. But he'll always give you the victory. You'll always be more than an overcomer. So you'll never always be caught short, but you'll always have the supply needed to win the battle. But usually at the beginning it's hard because the enemy is trying to stop you from getting out of first gear into second gear. So, you know, it might take 6 months. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, you just have to be patient. And in your patience, possess your soul. Yeah, God taught me about patience. Waiting on the Lord, letting the Lord do the cooking, letting the Lord do the transformation, not you. And the transformation in some people is fast and some of it's slow, depending on the individual and what baggage they have. Because the Holy Spirit pulls down strongholds, systems of thoughts that you have that are slowing you down. And if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will warfare against everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So once you start getting momentum, and once your oversight or your ministry team start getting momentum with you, then once you've started that and you feel that you have power, the juice starts flowing. And once you feel that you've gotten to a point where you're not going to be the problem, that you're going to be the solution to the problem through the Holy Spirit, then you can start with your parishioners, with your people, start getting them to pray. But what you do is when they start praying, they will start to go a bit wobbly. But because you're ahead of the game and you've got your ministry team ahead of the game and you've been praying for each other in the ministry team and you've got some momentum going, some power, and when you lay your hands on people, something actually happens. then you can lay your hands on these people as they start going a bit skew with. You don't need to get into an argument. You don't need to get into theological discussions and great debates, because I'll tell you, when people start praying, they get agitated. They get agitated. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want them to walk in freedom. So how do you combat that agitation? Well, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, not through intelligent ideas and thoughts and arguments and persuasive messages and whatever. No, they're through the power of God. So you lay your hands on them and you pray over them and you command all of the turmoil to cease. And the turmoil ceases. You bind up the enemy over them. Now you'll find that the enemy, this binding and loosening, you know, it really, really seems to only work for 24-hour cycles. You know, you can't bind something up for 6 months. You bind something up and it's a 24-hour cycle. You know, the Lord has given us the ability to fight each day as it is. Daily, He supplies our needs, He supplies our benefits. He's our daily bread. There's a daily cycle that we need to understand. See, God didn't make it a monthly or yearly cycle. He wants us to continually seek Him daily for what we need for that day. So when Jesus went and fasted, the enemy tried to get Him, and then He got ran off, but He only went off for a season. So you'll be continually harassed by the enemy from time to time, and he will mount a war against you. But because you're moving into the things of God, the Holy Spirit will alert you to the situation up ahead, and then you'll be able to make provision spiritually for that situation so that you can start digging a foxhole, fortifying the fort that you're in, and stopping the enemy at his tracks, because God will always give you the upper hand. He'll always give you intel as to what the enemy is doing. And if you've got your eyes on Jesus and you're walking in the Holy Spirit and you've got your ear attuned to Him because you've dealt with all of the other voices that are inside you, you'll have a good shot. So that is basically how it works. So you get the pastor and the oversight praying, getting on fire. And instead of looking at all of the people in the church as being losers because they're not on fire, they need to move themselves or pray themselves into a place where the love of God kicks in and it covers a multitude of sins. And you see the people through the eyes of the Lord, the potential. Now, there's a difference between seeing someone's potential and turning a blind eye. That's different. Seeing the potential is a positive thing and results in a positive act and a positive outcome. Turning a blind eye, sweeping things under the carpet, well, we know what happens when people sweep things under the carpet. Then the darkness will be manifested by the light, and you don't want to be part of the problem. You want to be part of the solution. So if you pray yourself into the love of God, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured massively over our heart by the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, you are always one step ahead of the game, or three steps ahead of the game, because you're moving forward and you're creating a spearhead and you're plowing into the darkness, and darkness is stepping aside. And as your people move forward, and some of them don't have the capacity to swing the sword as well as you have been taught, then you can use your ability to help them along, to lift them up, to straighten any sickness that comes over them. And so what you do is you get your ministry team on fire, get them equipping themselves with the power of the Holy Spirit. And once you start moving positively forward, then you get your people, you get them praying. Some will move faster than others, and as they move faster and they become efficient in walking in a testimony, You can bring them into the ministry team, and you can pray over them, and you can get them to be the second tier. So you've got you've got the second tier, who are people who are moving in and getting the victories, and there and you are praying over the ones who are coming up, who are straggling and slowing down. Some people need a lot of ministry to get straightened out. Some people don't. It's all organic. So as you do that, and then you get all of your people pretty well straightened out, and they're on fire, and you're starting to see healings, you're starting to see people being delivered from oppression and depression and bipolar and all these other stuff, and financial stuff is coming to, you know, into play, and people's lives are starting to become financially stable, then people can come in from off the street, and they come into a place that is ready to minister to them and not be a part of the problem. And as they come in, they may take a year to bring themselves into the same situation. And you as the oversight, you basically attend to prayer and the Word of God. You seek the Lord for what does the Lord want to do with this church in this place. And the second tier, they look after the ones coming in. And the third tier, they look after the ones coming in. And they move forward and they bring them in. And then some of them will start to move up faster, and some will have lots and lots of problems. And they'll be continually ministered over with the power of God, not with programs and not with putting up with things. You don't need to put up with things. You don't need to live with things. You need to forcibly attack all of the things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Jesus Christ in an individual. You need to go after them, not the individual, but the stuff that ministers to them negative things, darkness. Demons come in all shapes and sizes and different attributes. So you need to understand how it all works. You know, this idea of, women make good prophets, seems to be, but I met a lot of women prophets who don't have their own natural life fixed up, and they become wobbly. They prophesy some junky stuff. If you get your prophets all organized and on fire and seeking God properly, then they can make full use of their ministry. Pastors, you know, and teachers, all of these things, they can all make full use of their ministry, you know, and God can bring all of the individuals and all their different attributes together, and he can clothe them in the anointing, and they can be a powerhouse for change. So the pastor and his oversight get everything organized. Then they go to those who get them all praying, and the ones that float to the top, they bring them in, pray over them, and minister them, get them into a place of stability, and continue to minister to the ones who take a little longer time. And then other people from the street come in. And as that happens, the enemy, he loses ground. He loses his influence in the individual's lives. Because when a person comes in off the street, for the first year, they're getting ministered to, prayed over. They're getting help, physical help, financial help. They're being shown how to walk in the blessings of God. They're getting taught how to establish a good prayer life. And they start moving out of darkness into light. And they become a positive force in the body of Christ. And as they move in, more people come off the street. And then as those people come off the street, they come into a triage or a place of transformation that might take 6 months to a year. You can work that out yourself. It's not 1 month. It might be 6 months or a year. You know, I would suggest that you know, the Bible says, it says, don't use a novice lest he be lift up with pride and Satan get an advantage over him. Okay, you don't want that to happen. You need to have them not be full of pride, but to be full of servant attitudes, which come from the transformation of the Holy Spirit. So if you're willing to stop all of your revival, people coming in into a war zone, you need to win the war. You need to bring peace to the fellowship. And when people come in, the Holy Spirit can minister them much more effectively because they're not walking three steps forward and two steps backwards. They're going forward in strides because everybody else in the church understands and is not off the planet, is not doing weird and wacko things, but they have stability and gravity according to the Word of God, but they also display power and they have transformed life. This is a good strategy. And as you get people into worship into transforming themselves through the Holy Spirit, then you'll have a functional revival happening. And the enemy will leave your thing and run off to someone else who's a straggler, like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't go for the strength. He goes for the weak and infirmed. The churches that are weak and infirmed. It goes for the individual Christians who are weak and infirmed. But if you bring, if you make yourself a place where people can come in and they can be equipped and powerful and strong to fight the wiles of the enemy together, then you'll be a force to be reckoned with. So we'll just leave that there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support.